Hey, hey, if you're listening to that music, you're listening to our regular fifth Monday edition of Spiritual Perspectives. That's right, this is Spiritual Perspectives, talking about real life from, well, a spiritual perspective. Originating from our flagship station KEST in San Francisco, simulcast and archived on ifidknownthen.com. This is Spiritual Perspectives, real life from that spiritual perspective. I'm Scout Bartlett. I'll be your host as we talk with our special guest this morning, and allow me to introduce you to her. This is an individual that's been in public practice of spiritual healing for over 25 years. She's had the opportunity to witness and recognize spiritual healing on a very deep level, and recognizing that practicing as a Christian Scientist, she's learned that that science isn't inherited by a family lineage, or how long you've studied isn't the point. To her, it's a continual spiritual commitment of thought that makes strong demands for fresh inspiration and then living that inspiration. This is a practice that is a lifelong practice of pure joy. Everybody, I'd like you to introduce you to our guest, Jill Grimes. Jill, this is everybody.
Hello, everybody. Nice to talk to you, Scott.
Great, thanks. It's good to have you here. So, in a practice of a professionally declared healing practice, Jill, what sort of things have you witnessed, either for yourself or your family, that could be labeled as a spiritual healing?
An entire life, from all of the daily challenges each one of us has, whether it's the emotional challenges or whether it's disease, broken bones, every single thing that every one of us have ever dealt with, I have brought to bear spiritual prayer, turning to God, listening, and hearing what God is speaking about man, me, all of us, our original, pure perfection as it's brought out throughout the Bible and the healings of Jesus Christ himself, that I have seen it all healed. All changed, and by healing presented a very normal human picture. Mm. Whether it's been falling and breaking my wrist on snow-covered streets in a downtown city, and quietly sitting there and praying and turning my own thought to hear God's comfort, God's wholeness manifested in me, God not knowing any of us as separate from his love and care and support. And by the time I walked the few blocks home, the wrist had set itself. I was able to get in the shower. I had an appointment. I was able to drive myself to the appointment, walk up another icy slope to somebody's house and speak with them. Within a couple of weeks, I had a trip planned to go out to warmer climate and play golf. I went to a surgeon who was recommended to me to check the wrist to make sure I was as healed as I felt I was in the use of this wrist, to make sure I was being intelligent and not just being flippant about this. So then I go, and he x-rayed it, and he said as perfectly as ever I could. And he said, you might find as you progress in life, and this goes on, that it will be restricted in movement because of this. And he went into all of his expertise in the fact. And now it's been a decade or so since that time. I still use it to play golf. I have never been in any way inhibited in its use or ability to be flexible. So that's the kind of thing that is kind of normal to a Christian Scientist. Financial things, business, getting jobs. I mean, you and I know that's all on the lips of everybody and has been for the last, at least 5 or 10 years. Mm-hmm. I know that walk, and I know the effectiveness of all what the Bible teaches on hearing what God is speaking and having it felt so deeply that it actually changes thought, and the details of the human walk.
You know, Jill,
does that answer the question for you?
Oh, it just opens a dozen doors.
I hear you. Let's walk through them together.
First of all, it's always fun to notice that deep and profound spiritual healing has a tremendous level of day-to-day life convenience to it. It seems way easier than bothering to be sick or broken.
Amen.
You know, I talked to God and then I was able to keep my appointments. I love that notion of it. But I was listening to some things that I found online, Jill, and you used a phrase that I just absolutely loved and wanted to hear more about. You used the phrase moving above the ground level view as a portion of viewing healing, moving above the ground level view. And I really wanted to listen to you expand about that idea and that topic, stepping out of, had the opportunity to speak to some people, and one of the comments was stepping out of the confusion of the senses. But I really want to hear about moving above the ground level view.
You're right, Scout. That's why you have heard me before. It just is everything to me. And to me, that's what my understanding and prayer, as taught in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, supported and rooted and grounded in all of the experiences of the Bible that all of us know, from Abraham, Moses, right up to Paul and John and so forth, is that ability to move thought beyond the ground level conversation. For me, it's the chatter, it's the static, and it is absolutely imperative to be able to do that in order to hear God speaking, in order to hear your own, in your own spiritual language. I mean, mine is different than many people that are listening today. But everyone has their own spiritual language. And the ability to listen deeply is the ability to mentally walk away from the ground level view that makes us afraid, anxious, critical, unforgiving. And so how to do that? For me, it's the discipline that prayer brings. I do not use prayer as a dumping ground for my problems and then just kind of cavalierly saying, okay, God, it's in your hands and you go for it and you take care of it. I use prayer as kind of a sifting ground, if you will, where however long it takes, and sometimes it's a moment, it's a flash, other times it's a battle. It really feels like a battle of stopping the mental conversation. And honestly, my language is pretty tough with myself, and I really do. I shut up. Mm-hmm. I am not going to entertain that scenario. It's like our life is a movie script. Now with all the reality TV shows are like a reality show, and we just go down the path instead of stopping, all right, and listening by acknowledging spiritual law. Spiritual law for me starts very fundamentally. It's all through the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. I am God and there is none else. What does that mean?
Ooh,
how does that impact us?
You just set some people's ears on edge. And yet, it's right there. I mean, even in a traditional Bible, in the oft-skipped-over book of Matthew, there is a quote right there attributed to Jesus, which basically says, and I'll paraphrase because it's worded different in different Bibles, but it says that Jesus announced, "All these things I do, so shall ye do, and greater things shall ye do in the name of God your Father." So it's
exactly
in there, and yet there's this funny place as if, well, miracles were allowed to happen in a little tiny 30-year window of time 2,000 years ago, and they're not allowed to happen now because, well, I don't know, God got bored with that?
Exactly, exactly. And that's where Christian Science relights that fire, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and says, wait a minute, this is a principle that operated, I mean, clear back with Abraham, when Moses, gosh, think about it. Moses was, you know, up against a rock and a hard place. And what did he do? He listened. Mm-hmm. And he noticed something that no one else did, that burning bush. Gosh, I often think, how many people walked by that burning bush, Scout, and didn't even notice that it wasn't being consumed? Mm-hmm. And then he stopped and listened. I think all of us, at some place, at some time in our human walk, have that burning bush experience. But we're too busy with the script in our head, with the story.
My inner Kardashians.
Yes. Amen. That's greatly stated. Yeah. And we just walk by it instead of, wait a minute, I better pay attention. So for me, this prayer and listening to God is really paying attention spiritually to a deeper understanding of life in accord with spiritual law. I am God. There is none else.
So we've touched right in, and I'm going to loop around anyway. You kind of talked about it. It's sounding to me like you experience prayer as other people might describe a meditation as opposed to a rote repetition of a preformed format. But it sounds like you experience prayer more as a repetition, or as a meditation, excuse me. So I'm looking at this, and I want to ask for you, because I ask this question in every Spiritual Perspectives program, what does that word prayer mean to you, and what's your experience when you're doing this? Other than the inner, you know, go away, I'll think about that later, let me come back to my focus. What's your experience? And for some people, they're going to want to know, how do you know when you're actually finding that place from which you can listen?
Great question. Prayer and praying has infinite descriptions and experiences as there are people.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, prayer is that time when I have been able to quiet everything inside. And as I said before, it can take a split second. Sometimes it's a battle, and an all-night battle, to sift out all of the garbage, of the static that goes on in the day-to-day life. And what that, how I know I make that connection, because I think that's a great question. How do I know? How do I really know that what I am hearing is spiritual truth, actually the voice of God in my life? I know it because when I have a feeling of calm and settledness within me, honestly, Scout, there is not a word or words to describe that feeling. It is so deep, it is so real, that I immediately know that anything that follows, and this is what I talk about in my lecture, anything that follows that is the result of prayer. Whether what follows it is getting a job, whether it follows that is somebody else being healed of their disease or their anxiousness or fear, anything that follows that calm, I know, is a result of prayer. And a great example of it, Scout, occurred a number of years ago. I've got six grandkids, and the two oldest ones were little ones, like toddlers, and we were going to have to take care of them, my husband and I. My husband and I are both in this same healing work. And so our phones ring 24/7. I mean, we cannot guarantee that, okay, quiet time with the toddler. And you don't tell a three-year-old to go sit there and play because I have to, you know, talk with someone on the phone and help heal them. So I was really concerned how we were going to navigate this for a whole week and handle our chosen profession.
Great.
Here.
Yes.
To the point where it bothered me so much, I got up in the middle of the night, Scout, and just prayed.
Cool.
And to get my own thought quiet, meditating, some people call it. It doesn't matter what we call it. But to get my own self quiet, I read from the Bible, and I read from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. I read those books for about, a half hour, 40 minutes. Then I turned the light off, and I felt quiet enough to really listen. So I did. Do you want to know what I heard?
Yes, please.
And this is what I heard. And this was about 9 years ago, and I have never forgotten it. And it's as real to me today as it was then.
Yes.
I heard, do you think I'm sending my boys and I'm not coming with them? And I was in tears, Scout.
Yes.
God was saying, Jill, those two little boys aren't just your grandsons or your daughter's boys. They're my children. Do you think I'm going to just drop them off in your front door and then I'm going to go out and take care of somebody else?
Yeah, God's headed out dancing. Thank you very much.
Amen. Yeah.
Fabulous.
I mean, it was so clear to me that I have drawn on that with those boys and my other grandsons and my new precious little granddaughter constantly. Do you think I'm sending them to school for the first time and I'm not going to go with them?
Nice.
Do you think, as one of them just had to go have 10 stitches in his head because he crashed into a cement wall, that I'm not going to be right there with him in that emergency room? Mm-hmm. Do you think, Jill, for 1 minute that there's any spot that my love, my peace, my healing presence is not going to be? No. I don't think so. I know so. And I demonstrated that week with those two toddlers. It was a great week, a lot of work, but it all fit.
Perfect.
It all worked.
Perfect. Well, I know people are going to want to hear more about this, so we're going to break away for just a second. We're talking with Jill Grimes. Jill is going to be here in the Bay Area doing a presentation, and so let's give you that information right now.
Everyone is searching for solutions, but do we hear the answers? God is Speaking, Are You Listening? Is the title of a free talk to be given by Jill Grimes. A practitioner of Christian Science Healing, Grimes will present this talk on Sunday afternoon, November 4th at 2:30 in the Shop Park Garden House, 400 University Avenue in Los Altos. Come explore how you can experience God's healing love. For more information, call 650-948-4541. That's 650-948-4541.
Hey, welcome back. You're coming back to Spiritual Perspectives. This is your host, Scout Bartlett, talking with you this morning. This is our fifth Monday presentation of Spiritual Perspectives. Our guest today is Jill Grimes. As you've heard, she's going to be here in the Bay Area talking about God is Speaking, Are We Listening? We're having a wondrous conversation right now, and I want to come back to it. Jill, welcome back. There's a place in here where the next question I want to ask, you're going to be doing this talk here. You reference the Bible. You reference Mary Baker Eddy's work. My question is this talk really only applicable to people who have a Christian Science background?
Great question. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I have had people attend my lectures from every faith. I have Muslims, Jews, those who have no faith at all, and the language that I use and the experiences I draw from and the metaphors and analogies given are adaptable to anyone's spiritual reference point.
So
even
if anybody
if they don't
can,
have any.
There we go. So if anybody can relate to the notion of coordinating around toddlers or even headfirst kids, we've got a connection here. So
Amen.
Does it require that they have a background in an Old Testament, New Testament Christian Bible?
No. And because the way I walk through when I make a reference to the Bible, I walk through the very essence of the story. In the lecture, I use an applicable story of Noah building his ark. And I give the background of it, and I give the biblical scholarship involved in it, and then I walk it through. So, no, there is no place And I've even had people talk to me afterwards saying that they finally understood how to implement things that they'd heard biblically for decades and never knew how relevant it could be today. So, no, you don't have to have any background. I will walk you through it in the context of the lecture.
And I also know that your presentation is actually a gift to the community. Today's program is a gift to community as well with Mill Valley and Los Altos. But your presentation is actually a gift to the community. But here's a place, because I know that we have some people that listen to our program. We draw in people who have a sense of seeking, which you phrased as anyone with a hungry heart, whether they know it or not. Same thing. That sense of I am seeking. And yet sometimes people have some scars from hell and brimstone experience inside buildings that were called churches. And so there's a certain amount of caution about whether or not if I go to a thing that's sponsored by a church, am I going to be roped in either by the guys with the baskets or by someone afterwards demanding that now I need to come join something, believe what they believe, and even end up thinking of the Bible as some set of rule book as opposed to a guidebook or a spiritual scholarly work?
Answer to that question in one word, no. No one will ask you to. No one will solicit you. Because especially at this particular lecture, Scout, this lecture is being given in support of the 80th anniversary celebration of a developmentally disabled care facility in the Campbell, San Jose, Silicon Valley area for developmentally disabled adults. Oh. 12 acres, and you can look it up, 12acres.org, on the internet and read its background and so forth.
Yeah.
So this lecture is being given in celebration of 12 acres' 80th anniversary. It's not even being given in a church. It's totally separate. It's being sponsored by a Christian Science Church, the Christian Science Church in Los Altos, but it is in celebration of 12 Acres' 80th anniversary.
And just
so a little bit, go ahead.
And just as this program, we're really bringing it forward. We talk a lot about Christian Science on Spiritual Perspectives, but it's bringing it forward not to say that there's any set of rules so much as here's an opportunity or here's a resource. If you recognize this style of thinking as resonating, then here's a resource where they've got reading rooms and they've got discussion groups on a regular basis, less like your classic picture of a church service if you grew up in different churches, but reading rooms and regular discussion groups if this is the kind of ideas that your mind roams around already.
Absolutely. Websites, lots of information online, chat rooms online. That certainly, ChristianScience.com, that you can participate anonymously, you know, and get your own information and follow your own heart. There is no solicitation or proselytizing. That's not the point of it. It really, like you said, it's a gift.
I'm always curious, because back in the 1800s, when Mary Baker Eddy wrote the Science and Health and Keys to the Scripture, which became the foundation of Christian Science, which is, of course, not Scientology, Christian Science. The word science back then wasn't just a word that we splashed around on our laundry detergents. Science was back then was the literal take a theory, test it, see if you can get a replicatable or a reproducible result that demonstrates that your theory is accurate. And I believe that that's how she used that word. What's your experience of the science in Christian Science, together with the textbooks that happen to be a Bible, Mary Baker Eddy's books, and whatever else you work from?
You're exactly right. It truly is used science for its ability to be demonstrated, to be proven. And that's why Christianity is a science. It is demonstrable. It can be proven and must be, as far as I can see, when Jesus said, go and do likewise, it must be our obligation to not compartmentalize Christianity and use it on a Sunday in a building. And then go out as we hear in all over the media, and you wear it on our sleeve, but not in our heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, put on my Sunday go-to-meeting clothes and my Sunday Christianity and then take it off Sunday afternoon.
Amen. And I mean, a lot of people just do that even in their own families. I mean, I really remember, Scout, waking up to the fact that I couldn't be different with my own teenagers when I committed to be in this full-time practice of spiritual healing as a Christian Science practitioner. I couldn't be different with them on a day-to-day basis and then pick up the phone and say, oh, God is love and you're all right. And I had to, you know, that authenticity had to be right from my guts. And so I really watched how my even Sunday morning with them as we were driving to church for them to go to Sunday school and how I walked out of church. Do we walk out of church? You know, I didn't like what that sermon was said, and I didn't like the way that usher handed me the money basket. You know, how it's just so the science of Christianity is a full, total immersion in the Christianity expressed all through Old and New Testament.
So I've got a phrase here from a description someone wrote about your talk, and it just says, Jill shares her understanding of a loving Father, Mother, God that speaks to each one of us in our own spiritual language. How do you translate our own spiritual language to people so that they actually know within themselves that they have what you're talking about and they know what you're talking about?
That is exactly the whole point of my lecture.
Oh,
that
I hit
is it. Scout. You did. Because
I love it when I get the point.
Yeah, but people don't know. And after listening to me making those connections, you can see it in their faces. Oh, wait a minute. I've had that experience. Huh. Oh, wait a minute. That's what it is. In fact, background on this. Before I even gave this talk out loud, I had a couple of friends come over to my house. One of them knew about Christian Science, never been in a church of Christian Science, nothing. And so I talked to him, and I explained and went through how God is speaking, are we listening? And I gave him, you know, a full hour of this talk. And afterwards, he quietly said to his wife something, I didn't hear it, and his wife started getting tears. And she said, do you want to share that with Jill? And he said, yes. And he told me that when he was in college, Scout, he was so depressed. He couldn't operate. He couldn't sleep. He couldn't get to class. He couldn't do his work. He was within moments of checking out of college. He just couldn't do it. And he said he was standing at the window. He was at Indiana State University. He was standing at the window looking at a snow-covered quad outside. And he said, in his language, for no human reason, a sense of peace came over him that he'd never experienced before. And he said he's never experienced it since. And he said, with that sense of peace, he said, Jill, all the depression left, the darkness, the anxiousness, the fear, everything just washed as if I'd stepped in a shower full of mud and came out all clean. And he said, I finished, got my degree, the whole thing, never battled that again. And he said, after listening to you talk, now I understand. That's what you're talking about. Each one of us has those experiences, our own spiritual language. He said, I didn't even have a language to describe it.
Yeah.
But that is the healing presence that I define and go into great deal explaining of the Christ, which Jesus brought to bear.
Bingo.
And brought it to all of us.
Was the next question I wanted to ask, because I noticed that in some areas, those two words get woven together as if they're... I lived in Texas for a short period of time, and I learned that whether beer was in a cooler in the store or whether it was sitting room temperature on the shelf, it was still cold beer. Go get me some cold beer. That was one word, cold beer. It no longer meant cold. It just meant cold beer. So I've noticed that there's a lot of places where the phrase Jesus Christ gets woven together as a single word, as if it were not an indication. And you've just spoken about it as an indication. Does one have to believe in some tenet that Jesus was the only teacher to come in with that, and that it was just him? Does one have to believe that for these rules of science to work for them? Complicated question, but just take it where you want to go.
No. No, it's a great question, and my one word, absolutely not. There are many Jews that study and read the Christian Science book, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, many, and have no problem with it. Because as Mrs. Eddy, in her own deep study of the Bible and listening, she uniquely brings out the twofold nature of Jesus as the Christ. And so it is this Christ spirit that is distinct but constant. And it's this Christ spirit that Jesus even said when he said, before Abraham was, I am. Well, that's impossible in the genealogy of the whole thing. He was decades, centuries later than Abraham. But the Christ spirit, or this light, was clear back in the Abraham, Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah. All of them experienced some aspect of this light, this inspiration, this deep calm that is the Christ. Jesus happened to be the man that articulated it as clearly or more clearly or the clearest of any man that ever walked this human walk. But the Christ is expressed, Muhammad. I have a sister-in-law, a Muslim sister-in-law. We have many conversations about this, this Christ spirit that was always a part of these great thinkers' experience and lives. And I believe this Christ spirit is part of our life today. And however you call it, whatever you call it, is almost irrelevant. But the fact is, that's what this friend of mine, after hearing me talk for an hour, said, now he understood. Yeah. That's what happened to him when he stood in total depression and darkness at his Indiana State University.
Broke through. So that's another phrase talking about inspiration that frees us from being imprisoned by discouragement or disease. And you talk about him having a breakthrough moment that transformed. It wasn't after that he decided, every time I feel depressed, I'll think about the snow and I'll be okay. But he literally described breaking through from being imprisoned by that. So talk to me about this whole idea of connecting into that inner spiritual language, regardless of what we call it, regardless of how we language it, connecting into that inner spiritual language for that inspiration that frees us from the imprisonment of discouragement, disease, or in your case, broken wrist.
Mm-hmm. I think what your question includes, and correct me if I'm wrong, is there a way that I can guarantee you that you can say this or know this or read that and you will break through? And I can't. I think it's as individual as each one of us are. And I do know that that language, however you or anybody that's listening needs to hear it, is being spoken right now. Right now. In everyone's life. But what we bring to that in order to hear it is humility, listening, willingness, quiet, instead of what I call, as you said, the cold beer, I say the yay but. Yeah. And I hear that constantly.
I know that combination of words.
Yeah. So I think that it is paying attention. Moses paid attention. It's our paying attention to what we are hearing that is purely good, loving, and no yes buts following it.
So jumping back to the whole phrase of moving above the ground level view, I know when someone is in discouragement or in disease or in the experience of a broken wrist, when someone is in it, it seems so very real that it seems that there's no, well, like with the person that the surgeon that spoke to you about your wrist saying, well, you will have impairment. This is the reality. That is how it works. Yeah, it's set okay. It seems to be healing okay, but you will have impairment. It seems so real that if I'm discouraged, if I'm depressed, then either I need meds or I have to wait for it to take its course, because we're lost in that reality from the ground level view. What's this stepping above it, and why does that make it different, and how broad is the difference?
The difference is huge, because as each one of us knows, there are no answers in the ground level view. There really aren't. Mm-hmm. And greater intellects than me have tried to make sense of it. And so what it is and where the answer comes from is just the willingness to take a step out of the darkness, out of the pain, out of the hurt. Now, one way I have actually, Scout, even recently been hearing it in my own language, one way is this, and there are many, infinite ways, but one way is for me now unnaming it.
Unnaming.
Because when we are in this darkness or in this place that seems, as you said, seems so real that anything outside of it is irrelevant, that's usually the place where we've given our consent. We have given it, whatever the it is, our name. I'm now calling it in my own language the glue, the crazy glue of our consent. And so for me, I stop and I take the names all out of it. My name, his name, her name, their name. And I just deprive it of a personal identity. You would be surprised, Scout, as to how effective that is to take that step, to walk away from that seeming, incurable or immovable situation into a healing answer or solution. But as I say, the media makes everything so personal, we don't even realize it. How many times do we read or even say, it is, well, it's my cold, or I have this. We make everything personal to me. That's where I stop. I don't have that. This isn't mine. I mentally make the distinction, and it is a moment-by-moment distinction. Sometimes it's an easy move through, but a distinction as to what I am identifying with as part of me. We don't have to accept as ours what a teacher told us when we were in fifth grade. And how many times a teacher tells you, you're dyslexic. So now you're an adult and you've carried that label, in essence, with you for a lifetime. Wait a minute. Now, I know how to think for myself now. I can make a better choice here and really identify myself in a much bigger, more spiritually whole, or even a humanly better place. I go to the spiritual wholeness. Some people might not be comfortable with that, but they can certainly make a choice to go to a better human sense of identification. Does that help that question?
Yeah, which leads to a next question. I had the opportunity to talk with Dr. Lawrence Doyle of SETI Institute about healing and healing concepts. And because of his work, when he's such an oddball scientist, when science can't figure out an answer, they come to Lawrence because he's so far outside the box that he can see it differently. And I had made a comment about that in terms of his science work. And when we got to healing work, his comment was, well, when we get to healing, I like to think in terms of outside the box thinking us, as opposed to us thinking outside the box, that we have outside the box thinking us, a deeper spiritual presence, God, that has, call it a perfect template of us that we can refer to, as opposed to having to try to figure out how to create ourselves back into that perfection. Let me just toss that over and hear what you think on that.
I totally agree. My language says it this way for me. I get to that, accept that, and love that point where I'm thinking as God instead of just about God and my problem.
Nice.
And that's where I'm outside the box.
You know what? There's no replay on a button. Yeah, there's no replay on a radio. Hit that again. Just say that whole thing again, Jill, if you would. That was beautiful.
For me, it is thinking, knowing as God and not just about God.
Love that.
And my problem and trying to make God come down and fix me or give me an answer. But thinking outside of the box as God, knowing as divine love knows, as the mind that is infinite, all-knowing, is expressing it. So that's what it is for me, thinking and knowing as God.
So what if I phrase that as giving over to a real realization of this larger flow of spirit that gets popularly referred to as the universe, that has an easier name in English, which is God, giving over to that actually being present everywhere and empowered everywhere, and that I can match to it rather than have to do it on my own.
Exactly.
Oh,
I would concur with that rewording of it. Exactly.
And that's that place where you get into that very quiet place you described in your prayer work, where you stay with your prayer work, whether you're praying, or whether you're reading from Mary Baker Eddy or from the Bible or whichever other text you might use. That's that place where you get into that deeply quiet feeling you were describing. When you hit,
yes,
when you hit that deeply quiet feeling, Jill, and you've gotten to witness that a side effect of that deeply quiet feeling was that something healed, whether it was broken bones, whether it was addictions, whether it was despair, depression, whatever. When you've hit that deeply quiet point and you've gotten to witness that as a side effect, something transformed in the physical world, what actually happened in that deeply quiet place? I mean, do you get up, write a letter, and send it to Fred, the head of company XYZ? What happens in that quiet place? And the side effect is somebody finds a job, or their addiction drops, or their bones heal, or their dis-ease ceases to be a confusion in their world. I know that was a complicated question. I hope it made some sense.
It makes sense, but I don't think there's just one answer to that question, Scout.
Oh, good.
I think it's as individual as every circumstance and situation is.
Uh-huh.
Whether in my case, when I got to that place, when I was looking for a job and had been for absolutely months and months and months, and was just really afraid and really concerned as to what my answer and how, I got that quiet sense finally. And you ask, well, what transpired? My answer to you is absolutely nothing humanly transpired, except for I had the sense that everything was all right. I had that sense.
Nice.
Did I immediately go and find a job with, you know, the minute I, you know, walked out the door? Absolutely not. No, I didn't. But a few weeks later, I did. The job was a perfect fit, et cetera, et cetera. And I allude to this and go into this in detail in my talk. But what happens in that quiet place is you come from that with the confidence, maybe that's the way I should put it, with a confidence that whatever the problem was or is, it's done. And
nice.
All you or I do is keep acknowledging, rejoicing, glorifying God in that doneness, and see how the pieces fit together in the puzzle.
Nice. I love that. Let me break away for just a second, because Jill just mentioned her talk. She's going to be here in the Bay Area, so let's give you all of the details about that, and then we'll be right back to talk some more with our guest, Jill Grimes.
Everyone is searching for solutions, but do we hear the answers? God is speaking. Are you listening? Is the title of a free talk to be given by Jill Grimes. A practitioner of Christian Science Healing, Grimes will present this talk on Sunday afternoon, November 4th at 2:30 in the Shop Park Garden House, 400 University Avenue in Los Altos. Come explore how you can experience God's healing love. For more information, call 650-948-4541. That's 650-948-4541.
Hey, welcome back. You are listening to Spiritual Perspectives, our regular fifth Monday edition of Spiritual Perspectives. Spiritual Perspectives is always us talking about real life from, well, a spiritual perspective. I'm Scout Bartlett, your host, and I want to thank both the Christian Science Church of Mill Valley and the Christian Science Church of Los Altos. They'll be sponsoring Jill here in our area. The Church of Los Altos is sponsoring Jill here in our area. They're both sponsoring today's show. But I want to mention they invite you. They have a Sunday morning gathering discussion service, Sunday mornings at 10, Wednesday evenings at 7:30, or they invite you to go to either spirituality.com or christianscience.com. I've wandered around. There's a lot to explore there with all kinds of great ideas. So welcome back, everybody. Our guest today is Jill Grimes. Jill, we just talked about that moment of quiet when you realize the healing has happened, even if the external world hasn't necessarily changed, or even if it doesn't come with some typed telegram scrolling across your mind that says, go to the XYZ company and put in an application. It'll be a perfect fit. You said you reached that moment of quiet. You know it has happened. You've realized it all the way through your body. And then I loved this next part. You go forward knowing it's already healed. I want you to talk to me about that part.
I will. I'd love to. Yes, it is already healed. And I have found, whether it's some physical bodily illness or whatever, that sometimes matter takes a while to catch up with the spiritual sense that we have. And that, at that time, I call it staying power. I mentally stay with the power of the inspiration, the deep, settled calm, that Christly presence that I have felt through my sense of prayer. I stay with that. I just stay with that.
So there's an argument here, because the butta-butta-butta part of your brain is going to go, but I still don't have a job, I still don't have a job, I still don't have a job. And you're talking about staying with a deeper inner sense of it's healed.
That's right. That's exactly right. And the butt doesn't have a wedge. When you felt that, you know, the whole world can say, yeah, well, that's your story. I don't even care. I don't even care. Because I have seen it over and over and over and over again. And what's really fun, Scout, what really, to me, it's fun, is to be at that point. And I guess that really says it. I love to be at that point where I don't care about the butt, but it still hurts, but it's still swollen, but I still don't have a job. I love when I don't care. And when I don't care, I know it's healed. And what happens, and I've seen it happen in healings of physical things as well as business things, what happens is so interesting. And I bet there are people listening right now that have had this experience. You just go about your day-to-day activity. And sometimes it's months later, other times it's more quickly seen, but sometimes months later you look back, oh, wow, that did change, and I didn't even notice it. I thought it was going to be the big ta-da in my life. But it was just so natural and normal that I'm just stopping to take a breath right now, and wait a minute, I need to be really grateful. That happens tons of times. So I love that point where that spiritual sense has given me my inner calm, my inner peace, my spiritual answer, and that point that says, so I don't care what you do. I don't care. Bring it on. However ugly you want to be, it doesn't matter. I know the spiritual truth of I am God, and there is none else.
I love that phrase. I thought it was going to be the big ta-da, but once I hit that place where I knew that healing deep inside of me, everything around me shifted without me even noticing, and that happens exquisitely beautifully often.
Yes, it does. It does, and it doesn't. It's not denominational. That's what I love. Christian Science doesn't own it and is not asking you to be a Christian Scientist. It's that Mrs. Eddy wrote that book for the world. Just read it. Don't have to go into a church. And in fact, the last chapter of that book is all of the letters from people whose lives changed, healings occurred only from reading the book. Only. Mm-hmm. Period. Mm-hmm. Not from talking to anybody, not from getting any input in a denomination or from a building. No. Just from reading the book. So that's what I love. We make the world, the ground level view, Scout, makes the human the ta-da through prayer, as I've learned it from all through the Bible and elucidated by Science and Health. Through prayer, I've realized for me, the ta-da is the spiritual peace. And you can hear it in my voice. That makes me smile.
Well, I can hear.
That makes me continually search the scriptures, listen deeply for God's voice. That's what puts a smile on my face and the spring in my step. And my willingness to pick up the phone, no matter who calls, and share it.
Well, I can hear this as not even a, now I have, let me phrase it this way, now I have gotten a Bible-based stick with which to force myself into a structure. But I'm listening to you, and as you describe these experiences, Jill, it is so clear how deeply these breakthrough moments have imprinted that even as you describe them, it gives me tingles through my whole body. It's so clear that what you've now created is you're weaving a life that's a whole set of beads of breakthrough moments, whether it's breakthrough for your own situation or for a client's situation. Your life is becoming a threaded strand of these beads of breakthrough moments, building and building and building that ability to come back to that inner state of, I know what I am, and I know that it's real, and the rest of the world, it'll be just interesting to see how it gets along with that.
Exactly. Exactly. And Scout, how important is this in today's world? I mean, how polarized with our elections.
Yeah.
I mean, we need to accept in our own spiritual language, that government is spiritual, politics are human.
Say that again.
Government is spiritual, politics are human. So for me, establishing, knowing, praying for the clarity of the government, as Isaiah says, the government is upon his shoulders, to understand that in the deepest sense I can, for me, totally separates, drops me into a different atmosphere where I can listen for what is right and not polarize it by who is right and who is wrong.
Ooh, say that last part one more time if you would, Jill. I loved that.
Understanding thoroughly in the deepest level I can that the government is spiritual. It's upon His, and for me, His means infinite, all-knowing, one clear mind that is God, that is love, that is all-inclusive, allows me to leave the politics of who is right versus who is wrong. Goes back to taking the name out of it and really listening for that spiritual guidance that will support the very most pure sense of government that we as mortals can bring and demonstrate as what? As what we, the fundamental principle is democracy. And I believe it is a democracy of prayer that will bring it forth in our world, in our country, and then our world.
Focused
on. And it's a lot bigger than red or blue.
Focused on what is right, not who is right. This has been, Jill, this has been exquisite. I wish we had three more hours to chat. This has been Spiritual Perspectives. Our guest today has been Jill Grimes. She will be here in the Bay Area to talk, and you can also find out more about her online. This is Spiritual Perspectives, always discussing real life from a spiritual perspective. This is your host, Scout Bartlett, asking you to do me two things as a favor. One, treat yourself as a loved one because you truly are. And second, no matter where on earth you are, today is a perfect day for you to have a great day on purpose.
Everyone is searching for solutions, but do we hear the answers? God is speaking. Are you listening? Is the title of a free talk to be given by Jill Grimes, a practitioner of Christian Science Healing. Grimes will present this talk on Sunday afternoon, November 4th at 2:30 in the Shop Park Garden House, 400 University Avenue in Los Altos. Come explore how you can experience God's healing love. For more information, call 650-948-4541. That's 650-948-4541. 4-1.